Hey, this is Adam Richman from Food Network UK, and you are feasting your ears on the Hotspur Podcast. Come on, you Spurs.
To a brand new Hot Spurs podcast. It is Thursday the 10th of September 2020. I am Steve from Leon C in Essex, massive Spurs fan, and on the show today we have got Carl Gwilym from the Come On You Spurs podcast. How are you doing, Carl?
Yeah, really good, thanks Steve. How have you been, mate? And glad to be getting some football back for us to chat about again.
Yeah, well, it's been a little bit of a break, but not the usual summer break. So, you know, we are fresh, we are ready, you know, excited, maybe not, we'll see. And thanks for coming on, Carl, because tonight I was going to have Colin. Obviously, me and Colin go way back, best mates and everything. His kid's still, I think he's still on Rangers books. And Colin is due to come on next week, but he couldn't do tonight. And also, I've got my best mate, Doogie, who wants to come on as well. But Carl stepped in at the last minute. So we've got two legends of podcasts on tonight, Carl and myself. And let's get straight into it then. So, mate, listen, let's get straight into the questions. First question comes from one of my many bosses in my job. Tony Maltino asks, who is VAR going to be supporting this season?
God, great question there. I think VAR's sort of like turned itself on every team, hasn't it, last season. I'm hoping we'll see a little bit better this year and a bit more consistency. But you'd like to think, I should imagine, the big guns will get their favourable decisions. Possibly United or Liverpool, I can see it probably favouring most throughout the season. But I think that is the one question we're all expecting to see, if the improvements have been made so that we don't get some of those farcical decisions that we had last season.
You know, well, the decision that comes to me immediately is the Newcastle game three, was it? When Kane got rugby tackled.
And, that's it, that's the one, yeah.
And we thought, oh, here we go. And you know what it made me think about was, you know, obviously the first ever massive VAR decision was the offside in the quarterfinal against Man City.
Yeah,
you know, that was the first one. That was the one where everybody went, oh, Spurs have got a massive decision there. And you know,
we had a little run, didn't we, to be honest? We had a little run to begin with where you were going, well, this VAR thing's great. I tell you now, I love it all of a sudden. You know, every decision seemed to be going our way to begin with.
And then it slowly turned. Yeah. Yeah, but what happened was, and my favourite thing about that, of course, was I think that was on the Wednesday night, and on the Saturday match of the day our old player Danny Murphy, and he said a brilliant line. He said, and I was chatting to a Man City fan, and he said, "Oh, we went to the game, and he was coming away from the game, and him and his son were so disappointed, and it's just wrong. It's just wrong that you know, a dad and a son can go and watch their team and be robbed of a result just because of VAR." And I was like, unlucky, you know, some of Man City fans, and you know, what about the Spurs fans who used to play for, by the way?
I think them City fans had been able to enjoy a good few nights, I think, before that, hadn't they? So yeah, exactly. I'm sure the odd disappointment ain't that bad for them.
So the point is that decision was right. You know, the rugby tackle on Kane was wrong, of course. But we're going to see the refs go into the sidelines, which I'm personally happy with. You know, the point is about VAR is that, you know, we all want it to be used correctly. So no politics. You know, who's the ref we all can't stand? Supposedly Spurs
Mike Dean.
So Mike Dean, we all know that he talks to the VAR guy and goes, listen, don't worry about it, I got this. You know, we all know he says that, and so the VAR guy, you know, is up in the VAR going, better not overrule his decision, because that's a conversation that's going on there. You know, we just want to see the correct decisions being made, and you know, hopefully that will happen, and the people in VAR in particular grow a pair and go, you're wrong on that decision. This is what it correctly is. What about this next question? And this is from another friend of mine, John Mayers. He said, who is the best player, aside from Kane, to put in my fantasy football team? And this guy is an Everton fan, by the way. So he's asking about Kane in his fantasy football team. Who else would you have?
Is that from Spurs, Steve, or from across the whole division?
He's asking about a Spurs player to go in his fantasy football team.
Right. Well, you can only pick Sonny, can't you? That's the next person. You know, I think you've got Kane, who would be your first pick, and then after that, I think you go Son next. If he's got some spare cash in his fantasy football after buying Kane, then I'd definitely go for Son. He'd be looking for the next highest point scoring Spurs player for me.
The only thing is, with the incredibly boring football that we're going to be playing, what about Lloris? Any of the defenders?
Well, do you know what? Defensively, a few seasons ago, you probably would have picked the whole Spurs back four if you could have done. But given our defensive woes over the last season or so, I'd be a little bit dubious against picking some Spurs players this season. But Lloris or Toby, I think, would be your good bets, because Toby might get you a few assists with them raking long passes. And Lloris hopefully might keep a few clean sheets. So, yeah, you know, they'd be pretty high on the list as well.
Yeah, and of course I'm joking about the boring football, because hashtag back Jose, whatever that means. Let's get into some other questions here. Davey Elder says, this is the Spurs poet, legend of the show. Lo Celso is the one touted to be the provider. I'm not so sure. Thoughts?
Yeah, I must admit, I still think the jury is a little bit out on this one, because, you know, I think we all had this great hopes that he was going to be, you know, the Eriksen replacement and really creative. And we've seen, you know, you can see he's kind of got that, but then he drops far too deep. And to be honest, yeah, at the end of last season, he wasn't actually doing enough that convinced you he could be an attacking midfielder that's going to create things all over the place. I'm only hoping that with the Højbjerg signing, we might see him get pushed a little bit further forward this season. And hopefully, you know, that bedding in period, we might see a little bit more from him this year. But by the looks of what we've done, he is still going to be the one that you're hoping. Well, it could be between him and Dele that you're looking to kind of give that, you know, supply the firepower for someone like Kane, Son, and maybe Mora.
We've not actually seen him yet, have we?
Who's that?
Did he play against Watford?
Højbjerg.
No, Lo Celso.
No, we haven't seen him yet. I think there's been this like theory that he may have had a bit of the older corona, because no one's seen him yet, which is a bit bizarre and a bit weird. But then I think he was seen training yesterday, maybe, but we haven't seen him in a fixture as yet this season or so pre-season.
I think. Okay, if you go on the theory that a normal player would take 6 months to bed in, you know, I always go back to Chris Waddle. His first season at Tottenham, my hero, his first season at Tottenham was awful. And then he was obviously a legend and a wonder to watch. You know, some other players come in, hit the ground running. Van der Vaart obviously was one of those. Foreign players obviously take a little bit longer, you know, just in theory or whatever. So, you know, he's made a decent start. We're not, you know, thoroughly excited about it. I don't know who would go overboard on it. But everyone I've spoken to have said, yeah, he looks a decent player. And the one thing that annoys me is he keeps pulling his shirt down. Have you noticed? Whenever he's walking around the pitch, he's always pulling his shirt down.
He's also another one of me who adjusts his shorts, like he's got too tight a shorts on.
Yeah.
And he's always adjusting the side of his shorts where you're thinking, well, just put a baggier pair on if they're if they're getting on your nerves, mate.
You're not me,
sure
Carl.
They can do that.
You're not me, Carl. It's little things like that that I'm going, what's going on? Sort yourself out and then start playing rather than worrying about your shirt and your shorts.
Yeah. It's funny how you do notice little things like that. It's like, what's he doing?
Yeah, he's got a very long body as well and very short legs.
He has. I must admit, I think he's the game when he signed, when he's on the pitch holding his shirt, as you say, got a really weird body shape in some of them photos where you go, wow. God, as you say, what a long body compared to a short sort of lower half.
Yeah. Handsome, though, so I like him. Handsome. Right. What about Bardi? Would you skywalk without a safety harness if it meant Spurs signed a striker? Now, Bardi, of course, is of Fighting Cock fame. We've hit the big time, Carl. Fighting Cock people are tweeting, wanting to be involved with the show. can't get Ricky on for love nor money, who by the way is the greatest podcaster of all time. I'll say it right now. But Bardi there, Skywalk, fancy it, Carl?
I fancy it. I'm not so sure without the harness or anything, though, because, you know, it gets a little bit windy up there, I can imagine, especially when you've seen some of the videos Spurs have put out of some of the players. I'd probably be doing what Tanganga was doing without a harness, which is crouching down and hanging on for life. But if it meant we might sign a striker, I'd probably be tempted, you know, Steve.
Desperate for a striker. We'll come back to that later. But the old Skywalk, not for me. No, thank you very much. I will do it, obviously, of course, at some point, but no thanks. Someone put a tweet out about a load of footballs on top of the thing, and they said, this is where Sissoko's balls have gone.
I saw that,
shot. But the only thing, Carl, I was thinking was that's also where all those Man City balls are and the Chelsea balls are from their semi-final and final appearance against Arsenal.
Because that's right.
Seen the two Liverpool games, the league game and the Charity Shield, and the Man City game and the Chelsea game. So those four games against Arsenal, I have never seen teams miss so many chances in those four games. And how are we back to the Arsenal luck thing? Because I don't know about you, but I'm watching this Arsenal team and I'm going, how on earth are they winning these games? I mean, of course, Aubameyang is a brilliant footballer, but my God, can't these teams who seem to stuff us every time we play them put the ball away against them? What's going on?
I can't believe you're right, Steve. I've got some Arsenal fans who seem to think that they're, you know, the cup win and the Community Shield win have suddenly turned them into this side that can fight for the title this season, and it's like, I watched those games. You were lucky to still be in those games. And on a different day, you could severely have lost those games. Quite a heavy margin. And you seem to think, for some reason, you were this magnificent team on the day that was all conquering. I don't see nothing scares me about Arsenal other than, as you said, Steve, Aubameyang. Because you do sit there and go, if you give him a chance, he's a great striker. But Arsenal certainly don't scare me. And like as you said, I can't believe they got away with winning those two games.
Yeah, and the goalkeepers, the two goalkeepers are very good. The reserve one's terrific. Just amazing luck again. Davey Elder. I think he's just replying to people here, so I'm going to skip that one. Who's this? Alaric, 1805. It would depend on the striker. I'm not taking my life in my hands with Gregor Raziak. Gregor Raziak was obviously the worst striker we ever saw. Apparently he played 11 games.
Unreal.
I remember when we signed him and he put on that quite a decent shirt, actually, the white shirt with the navy sleeves.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like that shirt.
It was really nice, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like it. Bit Arsenal-y with the whole two-tone sleeves and top, but nice shirt. What a terrible player. Let's talk about strikers then, Carl. This is probably the most contentious thing at the moment. What on earth is going on, Carl? How have we not signed a striker?
Yeah, it, yeah, it's this question we seem to have to come back round to every season at the moment, isn't it? Where you're like, well, so we've only got Kane as a natural out-and-out striker, have we? And we haven't learnt the lessons from each season where he's gone down injured and we're struggling. And you can't believe that we're going to go into another season without a striker on the books who can at least either help Kane, help give him a rest in certain games, or come on and actually have two strikers up top causing teams a little bit more trouble. It is a joke now. You have got to sit there and say, we do need to do some business and get that striker in. You know, and you just wonder, well, when are they actually going to make the move and what type of player are they looking for? We might talk about Ollie Watkins. I, for one, put a tweet out the other day saying, I wasn't disappointed we didn't sign him for the money that Villa have signed him for, because to me that is a massive risk at that money. But we do need to get someone on the books. Who that's going to be, I have no idea. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if Levy's still there, seeing if Llorente fancies another season, a bit like the Vorm deal, just getting back in. But you are sitting there scratching your head thinking, well, I can't see who we're going to get. And if we do go into the start of the season again without another striker, then, you know, serious questions do have to be asked about what the game plan is and what's going on at the club.
I think in previous seasons, Carl, there's been caveats. You go, well, do you know what? He could play there, or this could happen, or this could happen. But this is it. This is it. We have not got two or three league games, then a Carabao Cup, then two or three more, then the Champions League. And we haven't got two or three league games, and then, you know, Europa League starts. We've got League, Champions League, League, Europa, League, Carabao, Europa. We've got, what have they said? Nine games in 17 days,
ridiculous schedule.
Let's say this for argument's sake, right? If we play on a Saturday, right? We play our best team. Okay. Then we know that on the Tuesday we're playing Carabao Cup, and on Thursday we're playing Europa. Okay. What you'd say is okay. And then on the following Saturday we've got another league game. Okay. So that's four games in eight days. Yeah. So what you'd say ordinarily is okay. You can play your game on the Saturday, and the same players in theory can play on the Tuesday. Okay, because that's what normally happens.
Yeah.
But then we're playing again on Thursday. So you're going to have a completely different side. You're going to have to, because then we're playing again on the Saturday. So there's no way that the same team can play four games, right? You can play three games in a week.
Yeah.
You can't play four games.
No,
so
it's
that
ridiculous,
fourth
yeah.
game is the most important thing we're talking about, right? So we need a completely different 11. Now, we can do that in every single position. We can do that in every single position. Some positions, we can almost rotate a third player. Not many, but some. Maybe one or two. For striker, we haven't got anybody at all. So if Kane plays, let's say, on the Saturday, then he plays the one of the cup games, and then he plays the following league game, obviously. Sonny, obviously, we've got to play him because he's brilliant and he's the main man. Moura will play because Mourinho loves Moura. We haven't actually got a body. We haven't got a player.
You're right. It's ridiculous. And it makes you wonder why... You know, we understand what they've done there, and in some ways you would agree with it with Troy Parrott, wouldn't we? You know, you know he needs to go out and get some experience and learn to develop the game. But if you weren't going to buy a striker, then you needed to keep him and say, well, okay, you're going to be a Carabao Cup. You're going to be the Carabao Cup striker, or even potentially the Europa League striker, where we're going to come up against some sides that we should be able to beat. and you know, you'll get some valuable experience, and hopefully you might bang a few in and suddenly get your confidence going, and before you know it, we have got a second striker starting to emerge. But you've shipped him out, what seems like, with nothing prepared to come in and help him. I'm sure they'll say they're going to try and get something done before the end of the deadline, but you know, knowing the way we do the business, that will be an hour before the end of the deadline, and at that point, that crucial part and those fixtures have been played, and you've potentially worn out some of your key players by having to play them so often in them games.
Well, you know, explain this to me. Troy Parrott, okay, seems all right, seems a decent player. Why don't you say to Millwall, yeah, you can have him, we just need to get someone in first?
Yeah.
Why has he been at Millwall for, what, 3 weeks now?
Yeah.
Getting ready for the season, preparing himself, scoring the goals. And we're still there going, what are we doing? So our Europa game is next Thursday, in a week's time. We all know that the game against Everton, we've got our team, that's all sorted. Who on earth is playing in the Europa game? Let's say it's a similar team out in Bulgaria. So it's a 4-hour flight, got to go to Bulgaria, play against a bunch of farmers, presumably. You know, it will be an awful game. We know that.
Yeah.
A ploughed pitch.
Getting kicked lumps out as well.
We're going to come back and then we've got to go down to Southampton. Oh, yeah, that's an easy game. Not, right? Then we got to play Carabao. Then we've got to play Europa again. I mean, that's, you know, even if it was in a fortnight's time, which is, you know, in 12 days' time, we're playing in the Carabao Cup, and then we got the game 2 weeks later, 2 days later, and then a league game 2 days later after that. And we haven't got a player that can, you know, how difficult would it have been just to go, do you know what? We're really searching. We're really struggling. But what we'll do is we'll get 28-year-old Callum Wilson in, because we think that, you know, he's got a couple of England caps. He's been half decent. And we reckon that he can come in and do a job for us.
Yeah.
But no. Newcastle, you have him. I mean, I don't know anything about Watkins. I don't follow the championship. So I have no idea. But I know Callum Wilson because I've had him in my fantasy football team loads of times.
Yeah, he gets goals. Yeah. And he's got some experience at the level we require the experience at.
Yeah. And he's a half-decent player. And the point is, yeah, he's not as good as Son, but you cannot play Son in every game.
No, that's right.
You're a second striker.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Callum Wilson would be good enough, as you say, against those Bulgarian farmers to be able to put the job in. He'd be good enough in the Carabao Cup against some lower league sides with his experience, and he'd be good enough to come on and help Kane out in certain Premier League games, or even, dare we say it, give Kane a rest and actually be the main striker in certain Premier League games, wouldn't he? So that he would have been a perfect player to bring in, that kind of fits the bill that everyone says, because everyone claims we can't get a world-class striker. So we're shopping at a certain level, and he fits within those brackets, doesn't he, of that level you're looking at.
Yeah. I mean, look, this is an entertainment business. So it is business, but it is also entertainment. Of course it is. That's where they get their money from the money that, we give them the money to be entertained, you know, and that's what it's all about, right? So, you know, what is Diego Costa doing? What is Cavani doing? What is Josh King doing? Why aren't these three players saying to their agent, I don't want to sit on the bench. I don't want to, you know, I haven't got a club yet. Get me to Tottenham. And then is Levy just going, no, we don't fancy Diego Costa because some people on Twitter didn't like it when Dembele poked his eye out. I love that. Oh, Diego Costa is such a nasty player. He's so horrible. Well, actually, it was us that kicked him and poked his eye out. You know,
and, if you're watching the documentary at the moment, that's the sort of player that Jose obviously seems to want right now.
Yeah. Yeah. A horrible shot to come in and just go, aren't you lot? Why are you all smiling? What's going on? You know, or Josh King, who is a decent little player. He wouldn't cost very much. He's surely desperate to leave Bournemouth. You know, Troy Deeney, another one. Wouldn't he come in and just kick a few butts up in the air? Yeah, he might get a bit back and go, listen, what have you done in your career? But he'd go, I'll tell you what I did in my career. In fact, I'm going to show you. Get me on the pitch and I'll show you what I can do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he, do you know what, Steve? He would be the sort of player right now, if you gave me, okay, you got a couple of days to go, he's the one now I'd go, just go all out to get him. Because he can give us the experience, you know, bring, like as you say, bring that little bit of a nasty side. And in the games we're going to look to need him for, he's got plenty of experience and he's good enough to do a job for us as a club against in those sort of matches and against those teams. So for me, people will go, Troy Deeney, no, you're having a laugh. I would have no issues if the club said tomorrow, we've signed Troy Deeney on a 2-year contract. I'd go, brilliant, great signing. You've done what we needed to. We've got a backup striker at last.
Yeah. lots of people are saying Danny Ings. You know, my biggest issue with that is the fact that I think that Southampton would demand a ridiculous amount of money. It's not money. It's not my money. So, you know, if we bought him for 50 million, it would be, you know, an outrageous amount of money for a player that, you know, is half decent. But, you know, fine. Let's get him in. Maybe he can challenge Kane. But I don't think we'd get him. So sometimes when you talk about these players, you think, you know, that's not going to happen. You know, look, Carl, why don't we go to Southampton and say, here's a £50 million bid for Danny Ings, get Jose on the phone to him, tap him up. Why don't we do that?
It is hard to understand why we don't, because one of the things I've always said, Steve, is since becoming a Champions League club, you know, you've always been told this stuff that with a Champions League, if you get Champions League football, then you're in the big league and now you can attract certain players. And I think we've probably found as a club that, well, actually, that kind of talk never really seemed to come true, because we made the Champions League and suddenly we weren't going out bringing in all these top class players and suddenly thinking, wow, see what Champions League did. But I've also always felt we've still always had a small club mentality where we won't go out and just, if you like, nastily cherry pick the best players from other sides and unsettle them. You know, it's like, no, we got to do things the right way. No, go and unsettle. He's a great player. And he's the best player in their side, and they're nowhere near as good as us. So go and unsettle him. Let it be known you want him, you want to make a bid. You know, that's be the team that suddenly makes sure that a player goes into his other club and says, I don't want to play, I'm going AWOL until I push for a move to Spurs. But for some reason, we don't seem to want to do that. And you can only assume it's either a financial thing where we won't go, like as you say, with that big bid and just be brave and say, here's 50 million, give us Danny Ings. Or we're still sitting again. Well, you know, no, we want to be seen to be the club that's doing everything the right way. And I sit there and say, well, I'm not fussed about doing things the right way. If we have to go and unsettle a few clubs and you know, make a few players upset them, I'm all for it. If it means we can go and cherry pick some of the best players from the rest.
And yet we don't do things the right way because everybody can't stand Levy. so you just can't win. I mean, you can't get anyone from Arsenal because Spurs fans, you know, won't accept it. You know, that Maitland-Niles played the game of his life in against Man City, played the game of his life against Chelsea. All of a sudden, they're thinking of selling him. Wolves come in, you know, and Spurs are after him allegedly, and the Spurs fans are going, well, no, we don't really want him because we've got a better team than Arsenal. And you know, this kid looks, it's a great little prospect,
So
we can't have anyone from Arsenal. We can't have anyone from Chelsea. They won't sell to us. We can't have anyone from Man United or Man City because they'll see it as a step down. We can't have anyone from Liverpool because they'll see it as a step down. We can't have anyone from West Ham because Sullivan and Gold, I think, won't sell to us anymore. So where can we get these players from?
And then you say that is just cherry picking from the likes. So you say the likes of Southampton, Newcastle, Bournemouth. They are the sort of sides, you know. Villa. I mean, look, Grealish is still at Villa.
Yeah.
You know, if we're lacking creativity, why haven't we gone and turned Grealish's head and said, "Well, listen, come on, you don't want to spend another season down that end of the table, do you? We're looking. We've got aspirations. We've got Jose Stadium, training facilities." Come, we'll put the bid in and we'll bring you in. We need some creativity. But again, it as you say, you just think time is ebbing, time is going past, and it's a bit like Levy and that sitting on their hands going, no, let's just wait. You know, we want a bargain. We want a bargain. Well, sometimes you have to spend money to make a bit of money. And if you get the right players, then Champions League, qualify for that again, and there's your money back.
Is Bale coming back?
Do you know what, Steve? I've been thinking about this one, and I think if there probably is a chance, I'd say this is the one real time where I think it possibly could happen. He's made it clear he wants out of Real Madrid. With the way it's all gone there, you kind of think, well, yeah, I can't see him playing for them again. Who is he going to go to? I can't think, you know, United don't seem to be interested. Man City's don't. Liverpool don't seem to want to. United. You do sit there and think, we probably have got a chance, but if it's going to happen, I think it, you know, this might be the one time where realistically there could be a chance. It does. But I wouldn't like to get my hopes up and think, yes, you know, because, yeah, I'd be over the moon if we get Bale, but I just can't let myself get my hopes up for it.
Yeah. Carl, there is absolutely no way, no chance that Bale's coming back to Tottenham. No
chance. You've disappointed me, Steve. You've broken my heart there, Steve.
Yeah. We've got a hashtag Bale back on Twitter. If we add no one else this window, do you honestly think we can challenge? No. Is Ndombele the player we really think he can be? No. Will Mourinho get us playing the way he wants? This last question interests me immensely, because this is the one thing that I've always said, what I want us to be. You know, and I'm not allowed to say it because I'm a teacher, but you all know what I mean. Growing up, Spurs fans, we were the nice club. We were the glamour club. We played the best football. We were fantastic. We had players like Hoddle and Waddle and Gazza and Lineker and all the rest of them. We were fantastic to watch. But I also grew up watching people like Graham Souness and you know, and later on Patrick Vieira, and I'm going to name them all. I'm going to name Dixon and Adams and Keown and all these horrible sods who were horrible to watch, but they kicked players up in the air, and they were winners, and they were horrible. You know what word I'm going to use. And for years and years and years, I thought, why can't we get someone horrible? Why can't we get someone to get stuck in? You know, Graham Roberts, you know, people will be screaming, Graham Roberts. But I was just after his time. I'm 44. So Graham Roberts was just a tiny bit out of my, what I can remember. And of course, for about 25 years after Graham Roberts left, all I ever heard on Capital Gold on the drive home with Alan Mullerys and, you know, when Jonathan Pearce used to be on, the call-in show was always, we need a Graham Roberts. We need a new Graham Roberts. We finally got one. Do you know who that was?
Well, I'm trying to think now who you're going to... I'm trying to think. Yes,
25 years after Graham Roberts left, we finally got a Graham Roberts.
Who are you going to go?
Who am I thinking of?
I'm thinking you might be thinking Dyer at the moment. Are you thinking
before
of
that? Palacios.
Before Palacios. Okay. So yeah, Harry I can see where you, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
So he still wouldn't have been nasty enough for me.
No. Well, what happened was, that's the first thing Harry Redknapp did. He came in and he went, this team hasn't got anyone that gets stuck in, and we bought Palacios. And for that first season, he was fantastic. So here's the thing. Will Mourinho get beautiful Harry Winks being an absolute you-know-what? Is that going to happen?
No. No, not a chance. If we're looking for Harry Winks to be our new Graham Roberts, potentially, I think we're in trouble. I can't, okay. As you say, I can't see Winks bringing that into his game. Dyer's the only one in the current squad that you kind of think, well, he's your player that you potentially go around, and he's your hard man who could potentially stick a foot in and be nasty. But in that midfield, I can't see, we haven't got one of those players, have we? Sort of a nasty controller who goes around growling at people and getting everyone to pull their socks up as such.
Holbert's going to do it, though, isn't he?
You'd like to think so. You would like to think that that's a signing and that's the purpose of getting him in. I guess I don't really know enough about the guy until I start watching him for us this season. So it'd be interesting to see how that one pans out with him.
Okay, so next question from Anthony Silva, which is, I've just lost it on my phone. Hang on 1 second. Right, is this Kane's last season?
Whoa, this has been a question we've been asking ourselves for about the last two, I think, isn't it? I think this could be one of the last seasons if we don't do what we probably need to do on the pitch. And that actually is bring home some silverware and make sure we're back in the Champions League. So I honestly do think if we do have a bad season, finish maybe sixth or seventh and don't get anywhere near winning a trophy, then I do think, Kane will actually go, well, listen, I think I've given you long enough and it's time for me to move on and finally fulfil that ambition of winning something. So this possibly could be.
Where's he going to go?
Yeah, great question. But where is he going to go? Who's going to buy him? City are dying out for a centre forward, I think.
Can I just say, Carl, that what I've just asked you there never, ever gets asked. And it's one of the things...
Where's he? Yes, it.
That's one of the things I'm going to come on to later as well. Is on Twitter or all these debates you ever hear, people always ask the first question or they always make a statement. And they never finish it up. They never follow it through with the next obvious question. To me, I go, yeah, and it's like, well, and then you get slated for it, for asking the next question, because it's like, well, isn't it obvious?
It doesn't fit.
He's going to go to Real Madrid, and you're like, well, hang on a minute, Man City. Do they want Harry Kane? Is Levy going to pay the money? So, Carl, I've asked the question. Let's do it. What do you think?
I honestly could see him. I could see City, when City, Aguero would be going. Jesus isn't good enough. I think they'd need a central striker. So I think City would be a realistic one. United, I think, if the United rebuild continues to work as they're going at the moment, bringing some good players in, could they then suddenly be looking for a main striker? I think you've got to say yes. But outside of those two, to be honest, I don't see where else he goes, to be honest, other than maybe somewhere like, say Madrid or somewhere like that. But those are the only three clubs that I think realistically are going to get him or could go to, and he might actually be interested in going to. I don't see, he's never going to go France. Can't see him going Germany with, say, someone like Bayern. So I think those are the only three destinations we'll probably end up seeing him go to. But, that's hope it doesn't. That's hope we suddenly do what we need to do and we can convince him to stay.
Yeah, I think it's his last season.
Unfortunately, I do as well. I really do, because I can't see that unless we suddenly win Carabao FA Cup and Europa League, I don't just think one trophy is going to be enough to convince him. If we won the Carabao Cup, I couldn't see, but missed out on top four and were nowhere near. I can't see that wouldn't be enough to keep him or convince him that we're suddenly moving in the right direction at all. But if you won, say, three trophies, Carabao, FA Cup and Europa League, then I think he might start thinking, well, maybe there's something happening here under Jose. But do you see that happening? I don't.
No. Right. Monty Theroux says, Steve, can I ask you and the panel to confirm exactly who we are going to sign as the bench impact sub-striker we've needed since Llorente? Also, if Golfer Bale's still haggling over £30,000 a week as an already multi-millionaire, is he worth respecting anymore as an elite sportsman? We've talked about quite a bit of this already. I mean, about the striker. You know, I'm flabbergasted how we haven't got one. And with Bale, you know, it's not going to happen. I just think Bale is going to go somewhere else, or hang around at Madrid and prove himself. We're not going to do it. I don't think we're going to do the deal. I can just see Levy going, it's not happening. So forget about it.
No, that is the fear, isn't it? I think you're right. I do think eventually the money, even if Madrid pay half of the wages, you're still looking at 300,000 a week. Hmm. I do just think, as you say, you could see Levy going, no, I'm not so sure I want to do that. Yeah. And not doing what it takes to get that across the line. I'm like you, I don't want to build my hopes up on it because I can see it not happening. And then suddenly you're all disappointed. So I think it is better just to go, that ain't happening. That is too much money for Levy.
Coutinho's not happening.
Yeah, no, never. Never in a million years is that happening.
Suarez was never happening.
Yeah.
So, you know, it does come down to the board at the end of the day, because we have got a board who Joe Lewis isn't interested in football, and Daniel Levy, I think he is interested in football, but his boss is Joe Lewis, and his directive is to make the club money. And as much as I admire certain aspects, certain things, there are loads of things that I don't respect, and you know, I'm not quite 50-50, I'm probably 60-40, but you know, at the same time, Carl, as you know, if your wife's annoying you massively, and someone says, well, you need to get rid of her, what do you go and live on your own? I'll tell you what, then I'll leave the wife and go and live in a flat on my own. No, you need someone else, don't you, Carl?
You do, mate. As you say, it is the great question, isn't it? Everyone wants Enoch and Levy out, but who's coming in? Who is coming in to buy the club? And as we all know, there's no guarantees that the next person through the door does any better job, or suddenly you like them even more than the person you've had previously. So it's a real dangerous one, isn't it? I don't have a problem with some of the stuff that Enoch and Levy have done for the club, because some of it's been great. You just want them to change the tact on certain things they do. And necessarily don't want them out of the club. I'd just like them to change their approach slightly, and do things slightly different. But as you say, if they go, there's no guarantees that we get someone who's better and suddenly starts throwing lots of money at it, and we're doing what Chelsea and that we're doing by just buying everyone up in the league. You know, you could have someone who comes in and says, well, no, I'm going to continue what's been done here. This is a money maker, and you don't make money by going and spending loads of it.
I mean, I'll just give you this, Carl, right? So what did Villa pay for Ollie Watkins?
So I think it was 28, it's 28 up front. And then there's something like 5 or 6 million in bonuses afterwards. So you're totaling around sort of the £35 million mark if everything works out the way it should do.
Yeah. So say we'd have done that. We'd have got Ollie Watkins for that. And also Callum Wilson for £20 million, right? So we'd be sitting here now with saying, right, okay, we've got all these games coming up. We've got Callum Wilson in. We've got Ollie Watkins in, who are going to, you know, good little players. You know, not world beaters, but good little players. And we're going to do that. You know, we haven't got the Cavani's in, who's going to demand £300,000 a week and all this sort of rubbish. So we've got two good players who can learn off Kane, who can do that, right? And then you go, right, okay, well, Danny Rose is going to go. Aurier, we can, you know, I think we can get rid of him. Although, you know, I wouldn't mind him competing with Doherty for that place.
Yeah.
I think that might
be
quite
agreed.
Good, actually. We might talk about that. We might not. But, you know, and sell a couple of other players, but, you know, do something like that. We'd all be sitting here right now going, do you know what? We've got a team. We've got a few players.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And it just comes back to that blimmin' striker thing, which just, why haven't we got a body in? In fact, we need two, but we haven't got that other player because you can't play Son up there because he's so important just behind. Let me move on to the next question, mate, which is Mark, Big Mook 5, still lacking creativity in midfield. A fullback's going to contribute more. How hard is it to beat the first defender from corners, free kicks? So poor for the last few seasons. Go on, the Spurs.
I'll answer all them, Steve, I tell you now, yeah. I think the fullbacks are going to be important this season, especially one of them, the way Jose plays. I think we've seen, you know, the one disappointing thing with Serge, isn't it? He gets himself in such great attacking positions, and then it's just the delivery and the quality that comes from him in those positions. I think Doherty is a brilliant signing for the money. So I think he'll be really important this season, you know, in that sort of system where he'll go forward and then the three kind of shuffle across with Davies stepping in as a sort of centre back. So I think the fullbacks will be important, especially Doherty. The set pieces one is a myth, isn't it? You just wonder if they work on them at times because, yeah, I never get excited when we get a free kick or a corner because you just think, no point. So that's hope they've worked
on
that.
Most clubs think that now. The lack of goals that are scored from corners is amazing.
Yeah. It's you know, some of the stuff we've done with our set pieces over the last season or so has been criminal, where you just go, why is this guy still taking them? You know, he's had four or five opportunities, not one's been any good. Get him off free kicks. Even Kane, to be honest, when he's on free kicks, hasn't looked anywhere near good enough. So you do just start thinking, who's letting him?
Kane isn't just bad at free kicks, he's awful.
I think he's believed the hype from that one he scored against Villa that time that took a massive deflection and went in. And since then, I think everyone seems to think Kane's this set piece, you know, specialist that when we get one round the edge of the box, they're going, I'll get Kane on it. And you think, well, I haven't seen him hit one decent one ever. So, yeah, we really struggle in that department. We really do.
Yeah, absolutely awful. There's Dan the Forest Man. Anything from Milan. Now, this is about Danny Rose. He's probably going to Genoa. You know, it's just, what a sad state of affairs. I got a message from a friend of mine who knows a friend of a friend who said that Danny Rose, do you know when he scored that great goal against Arsenal? Apparently it wasn't him. It wasn't Harry Redknapp that brought him off. It was himself. He said, I'm a bit tired, boss. And Harry Redknapp just said, what are you talking about? And he said, yeah, I'm a bit, you know, leggy. And, you know, and I remember that game. My dog's barking and I'm going to let him out. Hang on one sec.
He wants another striker, Steve.
Barking. Oh, your man. Yeah, what it was Danny Rose actually said, you know, and he didn't play well that game, that first half, although he scored a great goal. But it was him that said, I want to come off. And that was his attitude. You know, and obviously he went to up north because he fancied the fish and chip shops.
he looked, you know, a little bit like he had towards
what do you make of his all or nothing chat with Mourinho?
So, do you know what? Having watched it, I've been a big fan of Rose in certain things that he's said, because I think there'd been times where he'd come out and said what we were all thinking, you know, especially around the transfer policy and not making the most of situations that we've had as a club. But when you watch the All or Nothing, and we have to bear in mind this probably has been heavily edited in the club's favour.
Now, can I stop you there, Carl?
Okay.
I know for a fact that it was heavily edited. Levy had had to see everything before it went out.
No surprise.
It was absolutely Levy did not let anything go out without his approval, and that I know that for a fact.
No shock there. And Levy is that way, isn't he? You know that he would have said, "You're not putting anything out without my okay on this."
And you have to bear that in mind. Sorry, I just had to say one more thing. Why call it All or Nothing?
Well, exactly. I'm like you. I want to see everything, and I don't want it edited. I want to see everything.
But why call it All or Nothing? I listen to Arsenal podcasts, so you don't have to. And the fact is that they are laughing at us because it's called All or Nothing. Because they're going, well, it's nothing, isn't it? It's nothing, isn't it? And they're right.
Set ourselves up, haven't we?
And they're right.
Set ourselves
why not
up?
Call it To Dare Is To Do? The Tottenham Hotspur season. Why not call it, so near but yet so far? That's a little bit of a Mickey take, but it's better than All or Nothing. Because it is nothing. It's embarrassing.
It was like when they put the new shirts are made out of 12 bottles or something in each shirt, and you're going, yeah, there you go,
what
bottlers. Yeah, just help take the mickey yourselves. Here we go. Yeah. I mean, the Danny Rose stuff on his chat, I've got no problem with somebody potentially, you know, wanting to speak to their boss and saying, look, you know, what's going on? The bit I felt he let himself down was when he started throwing other people under the bus by trying to say, well, look, there's other people here that are playing shit and the train shit. And I don't like that, you know. To me, if he'd just gone in and said, look, you know, what's going on? I'm not playing. What's the situation? Maybe even say, what do I need to do to get playing again? But the minute he realised it wasn't going his way, he starts throwing other people under the bus who you work with. And to me, you know, there's lots of people who sit there and go, yeah, well, that's Danny Rose. He tells it how it is. Yeah, put yourself in that position. If you knew someone had gone to your work the next day, spoke to your boss and threw all of you, his teammates, supposedly under the bus, you wouldn't particularly be too happy. And that's where I felt he just let himself down with his attitude in that. And you can see why people now just go and just get rid of him. Because if that's what he's going to do, that is the sort of person who's just going to cause unrest, and you're better off not having them around.
Yeah, I think it's a classic case of, it's so many things in Spurs is there's two sides of every story, and you have to pick a side, and it's difficult because, you know, Danny Rose, when he first came to Spurs, obviously he won our hearts with a fantastic goal. He was awful for about three seasons.
He was.
He was awful. And Colin used to talk about, why can't we get a decent left back? He was dreadful. And then all of a sudden, he was brilliant. And he played about two or three seasons being absolutely brilliant. Played, of course, in the Champions League run last year. And then it just comes out, and it's this attitude, it's everything. But he is a Mourinho player, you know, if you know the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
so is he not somebody that Mourinho could go, listen, you know, and I like the way that Mourinho said, you know, you're an honest guy.
Yeah.
Why not then go, come back in. This is what I'm going to do for you. I think you're an honest guy. I think you've told me how it is. And I'll tell you what, I'll give you a chance. 10 games. 6 games, whatever it is, prove to me. And do it that way, rather than, you know, you're an honest guy, go on, off you go to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Then when
he comes back,
I mean, what they've been doing since he's been back, has he not spoken to him? Has he not said, you know, he's obviously not played him, he's not done anything. Can he not say to him, you know, this is the Mourinho, again, with Mourinho, I'm back and forth, I'm not back Jose. I'm not anti-Jose. I'm what you're doing, Jose. Where is the Jose that I've seen at all the other clubs that I've hated with all the passion in my heart? And now we've got him, and I want to love him. And I'm going, where is this Jose that I've seen at the other clubs?
Yeah, yeah, I have to admit, yeah. You...
To be that word. What? Get beat yourself.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. I have seen press conferences where I think, that's not the bloke who rocked up at Chelsea. That's not the confident winner mentality that I'm expecting to see from somebody of his stature. So you do think, well, yeah, sometimes he seems to flit in and out of that mode more lately than he ever has.
Another question from Gemma Stubbles. Now, do you remember Gemma Stubbles?
I do.
So Gemma Stubbles, I work with her mum, and a lovely, lovely lady. And she just said one day, yeah, she's presenting the Player of the Year Award to Gareth Bale. What? Sorry? Yeah, unbelievable. She says, what's your thoughts on the documentary? I've loved getting the inside look on the goings on in the club. All I have to say is I've really enjoyed it. You know, the only trouble is we know the ending, so it's all this like, you know, there's an episode devoted to Tandanga, and I was like, well, yeah, he played two games and he looked half decent and we haven't seen him since, so yeah. You know, and all this you know, I'll tell you what I don't like, biggest thing I don't like, you can't watch it with your kids.
Yeah.
Why isn't there an edited version where yeah. it's they bleeped out the swearing, or, you know, because my boy wants to watch it. He's 11 years old. I'm not letting him watch it. I'm not letting him watch Harry Kane say what he says. But why isn't there a bleeped out version? Explain
it. Does seem strange because, like, as you say, there will be lots of kids whose parents are going, actually, I didn't realise, you know football's got that language in it, but as you say, you do seem to sit there and think, oh, I'm not so sure, because almost sometimes every other word is, you've got to be a nasty this, you've got to be a nasty that, and you're thinking, oh, yeah, actually, I'm not sure this is the right thing for you to be watching, son, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Well, it's Harry Kane. One more question here is from Spiggy. In the missing link at board level, is the missing link a director of football? An intermediary between Levy, Mourinho, Hitchin, pitching in with the live reports. I wasn't impressed with that guy. Were you?
He didn't fill you with confidence, did he? He didn't come out as someone who looks like the sort of person who could convince players to come and join the club and show a lot of excitement. So, yeah, as you say, I don't think his PR from this hasn't been great. And I would have expected to see a little bit more outgoing, maybe, you know, flamboyant, a bit more invigorating and confident person. And he did seem a little bit dowdy, given that it's like, well, you should come alive at this point now, mate. You know, yes, you might not like it, but come alive. Look like you're enjoying it and you're going to seriously do some business. Not, yeah, I hate this. I hate it. I hate it all. So, yeah, his PR has been dreadful.
Very, very strange. Carl, I'm going to finish with my thoughts on Jose Mourinho. And then we're going to just do a little review of Everton. Now, this show, the Spurs, Hot Spurs podcast, I like to keep it short, but obviously it's the season preview. We haven't done one for a while. We're going to try and do this every week. Carl's going to come on, hopefully, whenever he wants to. He's got his own podcast as well. I've got my mate Doogie, and obviously Colin McKee is going to come on, and some others as well. But let's just do this on Jose. Now, let me address it like this, right? So on Twitter, sometimes I come from left field. Sometimes I say things that are completely random. And all I get is a real, like, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous. Question mark. You know, what are you banging on about? And this comment has got the most that from I think I've ever had. And this is the thing. Do you remember a few years ago, Martin O'Neill quit Aston Villa the day before the start of the season? Do you remember
that? I do. Yeah, I remember that.
So this is the thing. Obviously, he quit because, you know, he'd had assurances from the Aston Villa board and he hadn't got them. And he just said, look, you know, sod this for a game of soldiers. I'm off. So what happened with me was I thought, well, we got Jose Mourinho. This is it. Yeah. So I loved Pochettino. And when we got rid of him, I was gutted. I thought, no, he got us to the Champions League final, the greatest the greatest weekend of my life, apart from the game, yes. But leading up to it was the greatest month. I was walking around, you know, cock of the wood or whatever they call it. You know, I was so happy. Getting on the plane, load of Herberts in the back, having a right laugh and everything. Got to Spain. What a fantastic weekend. Worst game of football ever because Sissoko decided to point and mark someone. So, listen, you know, that all happened. Pochettino, we started the season not very well. And he got the sack. And I was gutted. About an hour later, I see Mourinho in talks. I thought, well, this is it. This is it. We have lost, you know, a manager, really good manager, who won nothing, but you know, has made me walk away from White Hart Lane just about every other weekend, you know, really happy. But we've got Mourinho. Wow. We have made it. We played two or three games where we won handsomely. And then, Carl, I know we had injuries, but I've watched dross. I watched awful football. I watched us lose against Norwich, a team that didn't want to win. In an FA Cup, which was the competition that we were going to do well in, we go to Leipzig. We haven't got a decent team, granted, but plenty of rubbish teams have come to Spurs with loads of injuries and got results against us.
Yeah.
So where's the Mourinho masterclass? Where's the you know, the thing that he tells players to be? You know, he goes in press conferences and sometimes he's miserable, sometimes he's not. But where's that? Where's that amazing tactical awareness? Is it getting stuffed by Wolves and then Jan Vertonghen scores in the last second? You know, is that the masterclass? Is it finishing sixth when actually if we'd have beaten Chelsea at home, we'd have gone fourth? You know, I'm seeing spurts of it. I'm seeing signs of it, you know, and he's done really, really well to get us sixth, I suppose. But it's not like, wow, you know, this is Mourinho. And you know, I'm going to stop talking now and then I'm going to say one more thing. What do you reckon, Carl?
No, I'd have to agree with you. You know, I think, like, as you say, we've seen some performances, you know, Bournemouth away as well to me. You know, that's probably one of the worst performances I've seen from a Spurs side in a long, long while. And as you say, the disappointment, you know, that Chelsea game at home, that Man United game at Old Trafford, where you're sitting there thinking, well, these are now the games that we finally believe we've got this manager in, that we can go to these sides. And even if we play badly, potentially, we nick the win. We suddenly get the result we need. And yet, actually, we saw a tame side that kind of gave up early, surrendered early. And you're sitting there thinking, well, this was the old Tottenham. I'm expecting some new Tottenham under Mourinho that grind in, we sit it out, we nick a result, and everyone goes, look at that, see? Mourinho masterclass. And we haven't actually seen it yet. As you say, we've seen glimpses here and there, but I think about the Man City game, as you say, that game was a perfect example where we sit there and go, do you know what, we weren't great on the day, but if we get results like that against those big sides all the time, I'll take it. Not a problem with that. But as you say, yeah, we haven't seen that so-called Mourinho magic masterclass where you're feeling confident going into games, going, no, we got Mourinho, he's got this, don't panic, I don't know what you're worrying about. we will need to see more of it, because I think if you look at some of those games where we have been dross, I wouldn't be prepared, you know, I'd be prepared to sometimes sit and watch us win 1-0 and not be very good, but there's certain levels that I'd go, I don't want to see us play Norwich at home and be that bad. I don't want to see us play Bournemouth, who had conceded 28 goals in something like 5 games before we play them, and then we don't get one shot on target against them. That isn't football I'm prepared to accept. So there is levels. As you say, I still think he's got a bit of convincing to do to prove that he hasn't lost that old Mourinho. You know, the All or Nothing documentary, that scene where he's sitting at his desk listening to the Sky Sports, and you know, you've got one of their panels saying, I think Mourinho's finished, and you see him get the ump. I don't, you know, I still think there's a bit of convincing to try and prove that actually he hasn't passed his best, and we're seeing the tail end of a bloke who, before you know it, could be, you know, Christmas time, if things have gone horribly wrong and not gone the way we're hoping they do, you could see lots of people calling for him to be gone pretty quickly as well.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that, it just made me laugh. Like, can you imagine when Harry Redknapp walked in and he just went, he said the exact opposite. He would have said the exact opposite, wouldn't he, to Mourinho. So Mourinho walks in and goes, you all need to be like, you know, what he said. And Harry Redknapp's like, guys, you're all fantastic. You're all lovely. Go and express yourself. Go and play football. You'll love it. And they, you know, and, you know, same results for both, because you know, they both did pretty well, but not everything. So here's my thing about Jose. So we've got Jose Mourinho, okay? He's the man. He's the greatest manager of our generation. He comes into Tottenham Hotspur, and let's face it, he is, you know, we're not comparing bigger because there's a football club and a man. So there's not a bigger, he's not bigger than the football club or any. That's a strange comparison to make. But he has won what he's won, loads of trophies. He comes into Tottenham, and it's like, okay, what are you going to do? So he comes in, and it's almost like Spurs fans are going, well, if he doesn't get what he wants, he doesn't want to lose face, he doesn't want to do this, he doesn't want to do that. Surely Jose would go, I'm Jose Mourinho. If I don't get the players I want, I'm off. I'm going. Levy, you said to me that I could have this money, that many, I could have this player, that player. He hasn't got Lewandowski and not got him. He hasn't gone for, Mbappe and not got him. You know, to my mind, he's probably said, you know, get me a striker, come Wilson or Josh King or whoever else, and you know, that'll do me for the Europa Cup. He hasn't got them, so to me, Jose should go, listen, this job is not for me, because I can see myself in 3 months' time, I'll have a knackered Kane, knackered Son. You want me to get in the top four, you want me to win a trophy. And quite frankly, I can't see it. So rather than stick around, what I'll do is I'll say thank you very much, and this job's not for me. What do you reckon, Carl?
Yeah, I mean, do you know what's the? It's funny you say that, because I always feel.
Is it crazy to think that? Because that's what everyone on Twitter thinks.
No, I don't think so. Because for me, I think that was probably one of Poch's faults during his time, because I always felt that while Poch's stock was high and he'd achieved what he had with us, there were times where I'd have thought, if I was you, I'd be going in saying, listen, unless you back me now and buy me this, that and that player now, I'm going, because if I go, the fans will turn on you massively because I'm the hero here. And
you know,
he just,
Carl,
seemed to kind of accept what was put his way.
But you know, the difference between Pochettino and Jose is that it's Pochettino. Pochettino, decent manager. This is Jose Mourinho.
Well, you're talking about
Jose
the ultimate winner.
Manager. Why is he still going, well, okay, I suppose I've got a job, you know, after £15 million a year, I'll stick around for the money. And Spurs fans are going, yeah, stick around for the money, Jose. Jose, yeah, like cheering that. I'm like, why are you happy that he's sticking around for the money? Surely you want him to go, screw the money. It's my reputation on stake. I'm out of here. I'm not going to stand for this, Levy. You lied to me. You said that you were going to give me the money. You haven't done it. I'm out, and I'm going to tell everybody on Sky.
Well, that makes you wonder if we have got the old Jose, doesn't it? The one with the attitude. Because, as you say, the old Jose, the one who first started at Chelsea and everything, that was when he would have walked there, because he would have gone, no, I'm not putting up with this, and I'm off. Yeah. Whereas now you are sitting there thinking, well, have we got this different? Is this manager not the same one that we're hoping he's going to be? Because, yeah, why is he putting up with this? What? Why is he not throwing his toys? There was one of the things I kind of thought, well, at least we've got a manager now who might not put up with the sort of rubbish and the not getting the backing that you wanted. But it does seem to be that he's not kicking up a fuss, and it is slightly worrying.
Yeah. I just want to see the Jose that we got, because I was so excited that he came in. And now I'm thinking, where's the Jose that we wanted? You know, the hard nut, the guy that's going to, you know, tell Levy where it's coming from.
Yeah. That is, we want that cocky one, the cocky one. Guy. I'd like to see him back.
You know, well, that's what I want. Sorry, that's what I want. A lot of people don't want it. A lot of people are happy. They're going, yeah, we got nice Jose. Yeah, he's lovely. Horrible one. Anyway.
I want the nasty winner.
we're going to finish there. We've got Everton at the weekend. Score prediction, Carl?
I'm going to go 2-0. I think Kane and Son, I think we'll see him off and start the season well. I just think Everton have got a few new signings, but they'll need a little bit of time to get going. And I think we'll be all right in this one.
Yeah, I think because we haven't played two cup games this week, I think we will get a result against Everton. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's 0-0.
Not looking great after 70 minutes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. You know. Look. Everybody's fit. Everybody's. You know. Hopefully ready to go. At the end of the day, you know, we love Spurs. That's our passion. Desperate to get back to the stadium. By the way. Oh my goodness.
It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It's been horrible, isn't it? We're gonna really get behind Spurs. Hashtag back Jose, of course. Back Jose in a way that, you know, the proper Jose, the horrible Jose, the Jose that demands things. Jose that demands transfers. And if he doesn't get them, then he goes, do you know what? I'm off. And I'm going to expose you, Levy, because quite frankly, you know, you don't do what you say, and there is money, and you just want your brand new yacht. There you go, you Levy outers. I'm with you. Even though I love the stadium, and the prawn sandwiches are terrific. Right, Carl.
Yeah. Brilliant, mate.
Good stuff.
Loved it.
All right, matey. Come on, you Spurs. Man.
Come on, you Spurs. Cheers, Steve.
All right, cheers, mate. Talk to you soon.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Yeah. Bye.
Samuel, come here, please.